Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Off to Cook, going to cut it back to the left side, through a hole, out to the 50, trying to get away from the defender, shakes another tackle, and he's into Miami territory at the 44-yard line. Back to pass, looking left, and stretching and reaching for it is Kincaid, and he stumbles into the end zone for the touchdown. A 20-yard touchdown hookup, Allen to Kincaid, and the Bills are an extra point away from tying it up early. Looking downfield, now goes back to the flat, and buried at the 38-yard line is Devon Achane. Shaq Thompson lowered the boom.
Another round of highlights from Chris Brown on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network after the Bills beat the Dolphins 31-21 yesterday at Highmark Stadium. Late last night at Highmark Stadium, I should say. Sal Capaccio here with you on a Buffalo Football Friday reaction extra point show here today. And, of course, our Football Friday is brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino. Call the 8s. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs, Crosby's Hometown Fuel. Game day ready since 1922. Well, it's a Thursday night victory. It's a Friday night. Extra point show. And I am here at Studio Capaccio. Yes, so if you see me, because you can watch on YouTube, hello, this is Studio Capaccio, where I do the podcast. It's always game day in Buffalo. My buddy Matt Bove, we're here today. I mean, hey, you know, Studio Capaccio is good for times like this, because I think I got to bed last night about 2:45 a.m. Back up this morning, ready to rock and roll with Jeremy and Joe, and ready to talk to you. So things are going quick, and the power of technology today, we're able to stay in Studio Capaccio and do this show and take all of your calls as we would normally on a Monday. Bullpen, what's going on? Just want to give a shout-out to you guys. I know you're in there right now, and you can chat with us. You can go to Studio Capaccio and watch, I should say, Studio Capaccio and WGR Sports Radio 550 on the YouTube page. That is WGR 550 on YouTube, and you can chat right there. All right, I won't be able to respond to a lot of your chats because I'll be doing the show, but you can talk with each other. What you liked, what you didn't like about the game, and, of course, heading forward with the Buffalo Bills. And we also are going to take your calls, because that's what we do on a reaction show. We take your calls, and whether it's a Monday or a Friday. And I have to be honest, I got up today, and I grabbed the Victory Monday t-shirt, and I'm like, no, it's not a Monday. I mean, is that a faux pas? I mean, what do you think? I'll ask. In fact, you know what? Let's start this off. Let's get the bullpen involved right away. Bullpen, answer this question for me. Would it have been weird if I wore a Victory Monday shirt today, like I do after the Bills win on a Sunday? Would it be weird? Because I thought I still wear it next Monday, because I'm still going to do the show on Monday. Would it be weird if I wore it today? Because I'm going to wear it Monday anyway. So maybe that would have been weird. Wear it on a Friday and a Monday would have been okay. You would have been acceptable of it, right? So thank you. Sal, you can still wear it. Thank you. Does anyone have a Victory Friday shirt? We got to get on that one. There you go. Wear the shirt. No, I don't have it. I do have a buffalo here on my shirt, though, with some snarly looking face. And, you know, I think a lot of you are a little snarly today after the Bills win 31-21. What's up with that? A little snarly after the victory. I get it. They didn't play their cleanest game. They didn't play a perfect game. There's a lot of things that didn't look great that went a little awry. And you're feeling like, man, you know, yeah, you got to clean that up. No doubt. Like, I get it. No doubt. But folks, I mean, I think, honestly, I got to be honest, I think that some of the expectations, are getting a little unrealistic here. I mean, you can't just walk into division games against an 0-2 team and just, you know, run them out of the building by 30 points. I know that'd be great. And you look at the Dolphins and their situation, you think that that could happen, but it was still 31-21. The Bills won by 10 points. Now, I'm not here to sit here and tell you everything was rainbows and, unicorns and all that, that everything was great. But man, like, they still won 3-0, and it feels like to a lot of people, just way more to you went wrong than right. I don't agree with that. I think there were definitely things that went wrong, and we could talk about that, the things they have to clean up. I say it all the time. I'll say it now. Every game has its own DNA. What does that mean? What does it mean every game had its own DNA? It means that every game is different, obviously. Every game plan is different. When someone says to me, well, you can't do that against the Ravens or you'll lose. My response is, well, they didn't play the Ravens, so you don't play them the same way. You play the Dolphins, and you have a game plan for the Dolphins. They have a much different team than the Ravens or the Chiefs or the Bengals or the Eagles or whoever. And you construct a game plan to go against the opponent you're playing, not against an opponent you're going to play later down the road because, well, we can't play like that against them. No, it doesn't matter. You're not trying to beat the Chiefs right now. You're trying to beat the Dolphins. The Bills were their own worst enemy yesterday in a lot of ways. They were the better team, and they started to stall out a little bit on offense, and they still wound up scoring 31 points. It's crazy to think about the fact that the Bills, like, didn't have their fastball. They didn't have their best offensive output, mostly in the second half. And yet they still scored 31 points and won by 10 points over a division rival. And I just think that's a great sign. But there's certainly some things to clean up and things we want to talk about. And I want to talk about all of that with you at 803-0550 here on the Football Friday Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR Sports Radio 550. We are going to hear from a lot of people today, okay? So we're going to take your calls. But I also want, because this was a late night and a lot of you haven't heard from Sean McDermott yet, we'll hear from him. We'll hear from Josh Allen. We'll hear from Terrell Bernard. We got locker room sound. So we'll hear all of that, and we'll take your phone calls, and I welcome them at 803-0550, whatever you liked or didn't like. And, of course, what I like and what I don't like is always at WGR550.com after every game. It is called Arrow Up, Arrow Down, and I'll run through that as well because the arrows down. Now, after games, I say to you a lot of times, I put out there on social media, on X, at Sal Sports, I say, give me suggestions for arrow up, arrow down. And last night, there were a lot of suggestions for arrow down. Quite a few for arrow up, too. But way more, I think, for arrow down. And that's where I got to, man, it feels like if you didn't know the score of the game, if you didn't know the result of the game, and you saw the replies after I asked that, you'd think the Bills really got beat and people are really upset. They didn't get beat. They also didn't play quite up to their standard in a lot of ways, and that's okay to recognize, but you also want to make sure you know and recognize that they did win a game, and they moved to 3-0, and they're the first team in the clubhouse with three wins here early on in the NFL season. So if you go over to WGR550.com, arrow up, arrow down, we start with the ups for the third straight week because I start with an up when the Bills win, I start with a down when they lose. And I think there's some encouraging things that we've seen early on in this season that really did show up very well last night. And I'm going to start with Dalton Kincaid. Dalton Kincaid is turning into, I think, the player that the Bills told you they needed him to be in 2025. He has gotten bigger. I've stood next to him. You can tell. And it's not like massively bigger, but it's bigger, it's thicker, he's stronger, and it's showing up in his game. He's becoming a better blocker. When he's on the field, he can block and he can obviously catch passes. And he did in this one. 5 catches, 66 yards, and the score. And I think it's just a great sign for the Bills, not only Dalton Kincaid, but really the entire tight end group. And this is kind of where the offense is right now, folks. The offense is at a spot where they can play a little more conservative, and it doesn't look great to you, and it doesn't sound great, and you want them to throw the ball. And I did too. Like, I thought they should be more aggressive last night. But their philosophy right now is, we can just kind of beat you playing a game where we're not going to make mistakes. And if it comes time where we have to kind of put the foot on the gas, we'll do that like we did against the Ravens. I don't love that because I think you could get into a trap and you could wind up getting into a situation where maybe, you know, you fall behind and then you make a mistake and you can't catch up. Could have happened to the Ravens. It almost happened last night. But at the same time, I also love the fact that this team just doesn't give the ball away and they can still move the ball down the field in a number of different ways. They can lead on the running game. they can use three tight ends, 13 personnel. Normally, when you have 13 personnel on the field, the defense thinks it's big boy football, physical, they're going to come right at you. Teams can't do that against the Bills because the Bills have Dalton Kincaid, Dawson Knox, and Jackson Hawes, who gets his first NFL touchdown. Jackson Hawes said with those three and Reggie Gilliam, he called it a four-headed snake, actually, is what he called it. And yes, that's a formula to win. It's also, though, concerning when you don't see the Bills throw the ball down the field and get some explosive plays because they're going to need that. I had some people tell me, and I know I've heard you, and maybe we'll get some calls on this, say that, you know, you don't like Joe Brady's play calling because he's not throwing the ball down the field or allowing Josh Allen. Look, I don't think anything about not allowing Josh Allen. There were several times last night that I'm on the field watching, and I don't know if you could tell from your TV broadcast or if you were there, Josh did look downfield, and then he checked it down. Sure, there are going to be a lot of plays designed to go underneath, short passes. There were plenty of plays where Josh Allen looked downfield to throw, and he didn't throw it. And what you have to look at is, did the Dolphins in this case keep everything in front of them and not allow the Bills to do that? So there's a lot of just nuances in how these things go, right? James Cook with an excellent performance. We'll get to him as well. But man, this guy is off to a great start this year. 108 yards, 5.7 yards a carry. He gets into the end zone for the seventh straight regular season game, tying a franchise record. Guy gets paid and he's still just on an ascension basically here. And he's just been really, really good so far for the Buffalo Bills. Third down defense was an issue. Definitely we can get to that. We'll get a lot more on we'll get into a lot more of what you want to as well. 803-0550 here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Before we get to calls, though, how about Terrell Bernard? I'm mad at myself. Joe Callie, I'm mad at myself. I mean, he's on the phone, I think, taking a phone call. I got to tell you why I'm mad. Because the game was in the fourth quarter, and Chris and Eric are doing the game up top. And I thought to myself, I said, we had a report coming from me, like they were going to come down to me. And Joe, I'm mad at myself because I said, I'm going to say on the air, boy, guys, I really think I really smell a Terrell Bernard like turnover coming. And I never did it. I didn't say it. And then it happened. I would have looked like the soothsayer. Nostradamus. So it didn't happen, though.
No, that would have been awesome, though, I will say.
I know. I thought it. And no, you don't have to believe me, folks. I'm sitting here and they're like, yeah, whatever, Sal, you didn't. I was going to say on the air, guys, I smell a Terrell Bernard turnover. The guy just has a knack to make plays, to make turnovers, to be around the ball. And you know what's great about last night? Man, again, this is the nuance of football that you kind of have to just step back and think and see what's happening and digest it all before you make these rash judgments. Because I saw a lot of people saying he took a risk, and if he gets beat, it's a big play down the field. That's not the case, folks. Terrell Bernard, after the game, said he saw this on film, and you know he kind of figured what was coming. So I asked him, like, when did you see it, and take me through kind of the process of that. He said, well, the Jets actually ran the same concept and had some success on a play or two. So they knew it might come from the Dolphins, and they saw the Dolphins do the same thing. So he gave a shout out to Al Holcomb, his linebackers coach, who said, look, they're going to run this and be ready for it. He said earlier in the game, they ran the exact same formation. He saw it develop, but they didn't throw it there. And then late in the game, the interception play, Terrell Bernard said, I saw it. I knew they were going to throw it there and I was going to jump it. And he said, even if I got beat, like I said, hey, it's a risk, right? He said, well, they were in zone defense. This was the key for me. He said, we were in zone. If he risks and he doesn't get there, it's okay. Someone's going to make the tackle. Yeah, you might give up some yards, but it's not like you're giving up a big play down the field. Folks, that was a calculated risk based on study. That's why Terrell Bernard is who he is and a team captain and making those plays. So just wanted to throw that out there. 803-0550 is the number to call. We'll get to a lot of your sound from the locker room after McDermott, Allen, Bernard, and more here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Lots of your phone calls coming in, though. Let's start it off with Clover in Texas. Hi, Clover. You're on WGR.
Sal, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. How are you?
You got it. I'm doing great. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. Well, I'm happy about the win. I mean, like Miami, they know us so well. They know how to attack Sean McDermott's defense. I mean, they have some good players. I mean, Waddle, he really went off. There was some throws that Tua missed to Hill that really could have hurt us. So we got lucky there. But I mean, we can't forget, like, Skylar Thompson came up and really gave us a hard time during a playoff game a couple years ago. So, I mean, I think people should really be happy with this win. And then, you know, just made the mistakes, right, with the interception and the bad penalty. So that kind of leads me to the reason why I called. I wanted to know what you thought about the special teams play this season under the new coach. I noticed it's kind of like not a story. The coverage and the punts and kickoffs seem really good. And then I was wondering with the shank on the field goal from Prater, I was wondering if that had something to do with the new punter coming in. And
I have to tell you, Clover, I haven't looked at that yet, so I can't tell you. I don't know if the hold was bad or not. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But he had that same guy last week, and he was 6 for 6 on kicks.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So I can't. I think 6 for 6, maybe 5 for 5. So I can't tell you for sure if that had anything to do with it. I think overall special teams have been good for the Bills, but the opening kickoff was not good coverage last night, and then Brandon Codrington also muffed a punt. So not a good night for special teams. They missed a field goal. That was out of the three games they played, though. That's the first time I would say that about the new about special teams right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I guess in the years past, we've had some things that have cost us games, right? Like the 12 men on the field for the one game, I think it was Denver.
Yep.
So
yep.
At least there's not that. Like, yeah, you're right. There was some mistakes last night. I've heard people ripping on Codrington, but you know, like,
oh, well, whatever. He muffed a punt. He muffed a punt. He's very good at his job and what he does. So
yeah,
I wouldn't agree with that, but he did muff a punt and he's got to be better than that. And he knows that, but thanks a lot, Clover. I got to run. Appreciate you giving a call. Yeah, you got it. Let's go. By the way, how about this? We got back to back from the Lone Star State, Steve in Texas. What's up, Steve?
Hey, Sal. I just kind of wanted to echo your point a little bit about, you know, super short week, division matchup. You know, that's totally a survive and advance, especially given some of the injuries we've had. And Miami is just so fast and has, you know, three home run hitters on offense, regardless of people's opinion of, you know, what Tua is going to do at quarterback. But my, you know, the biggest thing I noticed from that game was that series of plays leading up to Prater missing the field goal, it seemed like, you know, very low risk. We're going to get points here and we're going to be in the driver's seat for the rest of the game. And then when he missed that field goal, it kind of seemed like not the offense or Joe Brady in particular tightened up, but it seemed like it got really protective and the style of their offense really changed for, you know, a quarter and a half or two quarters after that. It just didn't seem, it seemed like they really got out of their comfort zone when they missed that field goal and they were.
Yeah, it's a good point. I gave that entire sequence an arrow down. I agree with you. I thought the complexion of the game completely changed on that series. And then Miami comes down and they tie the game. You're talking about a swing, Steve. Could have been 17-7, maybe even 21-7. And the Bills get nothing out of it, and then Miami scores. But you're right. If you go back to there, the Bills actually got the ball down to the Miami 16-yard line. From there, they ran for 2 yards, ran for no gain, and then got sacked and then missed that field goal. I agree. And I don't know if the offense, like the philosophy of the offense changed after that, but after that series, it was not as easy for the Bills because the first two series, they were just moving the ball at will down on the Miami Dolphins. You know what I mean? And then that could change the complexion of the game. But I agree with you on that. I appreciate it. Let's go to Neil in North Carolina. What's up, Neil?
Hey, Sal. Thanks for taking my call. And if you would have made that call, we could have called you Sal Adamus, I would guess.
Sal Adamus. Huh? There you go. See, I know. I'm telling you. You might not believe me. I said it. I even said it to those guys in a break. I'm like, guys, I'm so mad at myself. I smelled a Terrell Bernard turnover. But you know why, Neil? It's because that guy just seems to make plays. And listen.
He does.
Tremaine Edmonds did a lot of nice things in a Bills uniform. But Terrell Bernard's kind of the antithesis of Tremaine Edmonds. Tremaine Edmonds would have, you know, he'd fill up a stat sheet with tackles, but you were always missing that splash play, especially in a critical moment. Whereas Terrell, maybe he doesn't fill up the stat sheet all the time. He does. And then he makes a critical play at a critical moment.
Yep, absolutely. The thing I was going to say is, like you were saying, a lot of people are upset. They didn't pass the ball. They didn't throw it enough. And it seemed like he went in there, Brady, with an idea of, okay, let's see if we can run the 2 and 3 tight end offense. They were able to run. And the other thing was they move quick, Miami. So the best thing we can do is to run the clock. And when you have a running back like him, it reminds me of the 90s. The reason that team was as great as it was, yeah, they had a quarterback. Yeah, they had receivers. They also had Thurman Thomas, who can change the game rushing. And it also can open up in other types of games, the passing. So I actually thought the game plan wasn't that bad. Did I expect that? No. But I actually thought it wasn't that bad. But that the point of that missed field goal absolutely started to change. And luckily, you know, they were able to play the way they're playing. It's just enjoyable to watch these guys. I mean, they're really playing great. And like you said, things they need to fix, absolutely. But you walk away with a Miami team that came in there hungry to beat us because they were 0-2, and we were able to hold them off, and we're now 3-0. So I definitely give him kudos for that. But I'm enjoying watching the run. I mean, he's amazing, Cook. And when they put that three tight end, it seems like he's getting anywhere from 5 to 10 to 12 yards every time.
Yeah, you got it. I appreciate that. And listen, it's so funny, Neil. Like, you're like, yeah, you know, conservative, this and that. And then they score 31 points. That's what's wild about this team, yeah. Right? Like last week, Josh Allen. You know, Josh Allen doesn't account for a single point and they score 30. And it's like, how do they do that? And I think that's just a sign of a good team, even though it could be kind of boring, quote unquote, right? I mean, I think that's how you have to look at it. Andrew in Utica. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, good morning, Sal.
Good morning.
Wanted to share with you some reflections I had after sleeping, because a lot of the fan base last night, including myself, was super stressed. Like, this is some bad team. We scored 31 points without a turnover, and a lot of fans are talking like we lost the game, myself included, last night. But after sleeping on it, we really got to enjoy these moments of having one of the best offenses in the league. And a forward-looking statement on the defense, we're down about 5 key contributors with Oliver, Milano, Okunjobi, Hoyt, and Harrison. So I think that situational defense will improve moving forward. And also looking at the box score, Tua passed for 146 yards on 36 attempts. So just brief reflection on the game and forward-looking statement on the defense. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you got it. Listen, the yards per play for the Dolphins was less than 5, like 4.6. The only issue with the Bills defense I really had was third down defense. A lot of that stemmed from not getting much of a pass rush. You know what I mean? So I think that is a I think that is a area where they have to be better. But at the same time, I think that, you know, they did a very nice job overall defensively. 803-0550. Here's the number to hear to call on WGR Sports Radio 550. And if you want to give a call and you want to jump on board, we can do that. We'd be like Mike in Lancaster here. We'll take one more call before a timeout, and we'll get to Mike. What's up, Mike?
Sal, good morning. So glad they won. So glad they're 3-0. I do have a couple things. I know, I hate to be the Debbie Downer, but I got a couple questions for you. First drive, which is obviously a very important drive in the game because Miami goes down and gets that touchdown, right? They kind of set the tone for the game, I thought. They came out and played with some attitude and, you know, hats off to them, but glad we pulled it off. But how is that not being called down? Tyreek Hill bobbled the ball before he went out of bounds. The announcer on TV made it known. I seen it. And we did too.
I don't know. And I think, you know, Sean McDermott speaks today. Maybe he'll get asked about that. Like, he maybe should have been able to, maybe should have challenged that. I would also tell you, I think if it was clear, they could have overturned it on the replay assist like they do sometimes. They can do that. They didn't do that. I agree with you. I mean, yeah, sure. It's a nitpicky thing, but it's probably right. They probably should have challenged that, but they didn't. Maybe he didn't. Maybe they just didn't feel it was close enough. He didn't want to lose a challenge that early in the game. You know what I mean? In a timeout. I don't know.
And that brings me to my second point. And we pay that guy upstairs, that official that's supposed to, we hired him last year, and I haven't seen great things from that guy. I thought we would have been a lot better with the challenges, but I don't know why he's not seeing that. And second, saving the timeouts, we're calling timeouts before the end of the half, kind of with Miami driving, having the momentum, and I understand he wants to get the ball back, right? But yeah, we're getting the ball after the half. I understand if we're getting the ball, we weren't getting the ball after the half using the timeouts, but I just thought it was the wrong decision to start using timeouts and helping Miami on that final drive there.
Well, you're looking for something then there to nitpick, because you just said you understand it and he's trying to get Josh Allen the ball to double dip.
No, I understand it if we were not getting the ball back after half. I would understand that.
I know that, but I'm saying they wanted to double dip. They wanted to get the ball, score, and get the ball back at the end of the half. So, I mean, you have Josh Allen as your quarterback, right? I mean, that's
I disagree with the hardly any timeouts and you're letting Miami drive. I don't know. I just didn't feel it. I thought it was the wrong decision.
Okay, that's cool. You can feel that way, but I mean, you have Josh Allen, and the coach obviously wanted to be aggressive, and we get calls all the time that he's not aggressive enough, Mike.
Well, if you want to say that, Sal, what do we have one pass over 10 yards last night?
Correct. Whole game? That is correct. That is correct. Now, I'll point that out, and I agree with you on that, and I wrote about that. I would also tell you that's not just on coaching. Josh Allen looked downfield and decided to check it down several times.
Right.
But that's on the quarterback, too.
It would be nice if Josh would at least throw something down, even if it's a busted play, wasted play, just to try to open some things up for him. I would like to see that. You hate to nitpick things, but when they're good, you got to find something to nitpick on, right?
Is there anything you liked about the game, Mike?
Yeah, I liked that they won.
There you go, buddy. I love it. Thanks a lot. We'll take a timeout here. I appreciate that. Just want to end on a good note here on the first segment. We'll take a timeout here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR Sports Radio 550. We are going to hear from Sean McDermott, who spoke postgame, Josh Allen, Terrell Bernard. We'll try to do all that, but you guys got calls coming in, so we'll take that as well here on the Northtown Automotive Extra.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you on a Buffalo Football Friday on WGR.
Screen pass to Shakir, has a blocker in front, racing to the end zone, and he's in! It's a 15-yard screen pass for a touchdown, as Shakir got great blocking downfield, got up the sideline and into the end zone, and the Bills have the lead back again.
That is Chris Brown of the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. By the way, thanks to Chris, who texted to me and said the hold was good on the missed field goal attempt. Laces might have been not exactly where you want them to be, but they were good enough, and hold was good. So, yeah, we had a caller earlier who wondered about that, Clover, who said, you know, was the hold poor from Cameron Johnston on Prater's kick? No, just he just missed it. So, I mean, that happens, and that's his first miss in a Bills uniform. Okay, so we had a caller a little while ago, and he was upset, or at least, you know, criticizing, I guess, the timeouts being used by Sean McDermott at the end of the first half. And I've seen that too. I went back and looked at the play-by-play because I want to just kind of go through it. In my mind, I also was a bit surprised the Bills were doing it, but I understood. He said he understood. But here's why. So the Bills used their second timeout after a first down play. The biggest thing I was curious about and really, I guess you'd say like surprised, right? I was surprised that it wasn't just the Bills used a timeout. It was after it was a 5-yard gain. So it's already first and second and five now. And they're like, okay. Because I thought, all right, the chances of them getting a first down, you're giving them more time here, which I think is what the caller might be alluding to. But then on the second play, they go -2 yards. Now you call timeout. That's your third timeout because there's only, at that time, 47 seconds left. Folks, I mean, if you force now, if Miami throws an incomplete pass, okay, on third down and seven, the Bills are getting the ball back with 40 seconds left. That's not what happened. They actually ran a little bit of time, but that's what they got a first down. But the reason why Sean McDermott calls timeout at the end of the half there is he calls timeout twice, and they already used one, so that's the third timeout. And The reason is because you're in a third and seven. If Miami has an incomplete pass, the Bills are getting the ball with 40 seconds left pretty much with Josh Allen to score and then score again. So, I mean, you can't have it both ways. You can't say, man, coach is too conservative. And then when he does that, you know, be upset about it because that's being aggressive to allow Josh Allen to get the ball. I was surprised. I just totally get it. Like, that's what they did, and it didn't work out, but I get it. Let's go to Billy in Toronto. Hi, Billy. You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal. Listen, when I call into talk shows, I really call in to disagree or argue, but I don't know what it is with you, Sal. Me and you just think too much alike. I mean, I couldn't agree with you more. Listen, if the fan base thinks that we're going to go out and beat teams 48-7 every week, think again. I mean, these are the kind of games I want. I want these games all year long. Yeah, I'd like a blowout here and there, but this will get us ready for the playoffs. I think when you go to championship games and World Series and lose, and you come back the next year, I just think that your mind is still on getting back to the playoffs. I know you got to play the regular season, but, you know, this game today, first of all, Miami, you know, Miami catches the break with us. They don't have to come up here in December or January in the cold weather. They finally get a nice day to play us. I know they're 0-2, but they're a professional football team. And for this game, you know, if Miami had won this game, I wouldn't have been surprised. I wouldn't have said, okay, 12.5-point underdogs, how do we lose? We're going to have these games all year. Teams are coming at us. The only way we blow somebody out is if we lose a tough game, and then we're really into that next game. But listen, stop complaining. We won this game. We're 3-0. Get healthy and just keep this season going. And in my estimation, it's on to the Super Bowl this year. That's all I got, Sal.
All right. Yeah. Thank you, Billy. Listen, there's always room to say this didn't go right, that didn't go right. You have to improve there because that's what coaches are doing. That's what players are doing. There's no doubt. But I agree with you that, like, this is, I think the expectations are getting a bit unrealistic for a lot of people. Oh my gosh. Like, folks, winning in the NFL by 10 points, it's just like you don't do that much in this league. There's not a lot of games every week that are decided by double digits. There's just not. And the Bills have now done it 2 weeks in a row and in two division games in a 4-day span. Like, that's really good. Really good. And even if you, and doing it when you don't even play that well. Here are the point totals from last week in games where they're decided. There was a 9-point game on Thursday night. This is last week. And then there was a blowout, Ravens and Browns. And then let's see, Bengals won by 4. Cowboys won by 3. Lions won in a blowout. Patriots won by 6. 49ers won by 5. Cardinals won by 5. Colts won by 1. Bucks won by 1. Eagles won by 3. There's about, what, 4 or 5 games maybe with double digits point spreads here. I mean, you know, there's 16 games in a league pretty much every week. The expectations, the talk all week, I was concerned this week because all the talk was this week about Mike McDaniel getting fired and how they're just going to roll over and go home. And I got caught up in that too. But man, that's a team. Those are professional athletes. They have pride. They're trying to win. And it's a division game. So the Bills didn't play their best football, which happens sometimes on Thursdays, by the way, and they still scored 31 points and won. And that's a good thing, and they have things to work on. We can keep it all in that kind of not overreacting either way space. Shane in North Carolina. Hi, Shane.
Morning, Sal. Happy Victory Friday. I just want to talk about Jimbo for a second. I know it's only 3 games, but is it too early to – start talking about him being a offensive player of the year candidate? I mean, this guy, he leads the league with 284 rushing. He's got currently 5.4 yards a carry. If my math is correct, he's roughly on pace for 1,600 rushing, 600 receiving, 22 touchdowns. And I know those numbers will probably die down a little bit, but that's what he's on pace for. And I just think this guy, he's a total game changer. I've been pounding my fist on the table for being – to get one for a while now, and it seems to me we truly have one, aside from Allen.
It's a great call. It's a great point. I'm looking at his stats now. He's at 5.36 yards, so you're close on that. But the only running backs who are averaging more so far through 2 games only for the others are Travis Etienne, Ja'Cory Krosky-Merritt, Derrick Henry, Rashad White, and Jonathan Taylor and Kenneth Walker. They're all up there, too. Jahmyr Gibbs. So he's, eighth, ninth in yards per carry. He's leading the league in total yards rushing, but he has played one extra game. But the other part is he's finding the end zone again, Shane, and that's how you do it, too, right? I mean, you're scoring those points and helping your team. I think that's a good point. I mean, could the Bills actually have an MVP candidate and an offensive player of the year candidate separately on the same team? Yeah, at this point they do. Let's go to JD in Hamburg. Hi, JD.
Hey, Sal. Good morning. I just want to say that, you know, I've seen a lot of good Bills teams, but the last couple of years I've seen a Bills team that gets lucky. And I do believe luck is the residue of design. And I'll take luck, you know, bad penalties, a key interception. You know, the stats don't tell us the when. Like what Bernard did last night, it's the when, making plays at the exact right time. So you got to win ugly. This is a divisional game, and Miami's going to come ready, just like the Jets and the Pats are going to come ready. So I'll take lucky every time. Then I just want to say something about James Cook. I've said this before. I said this before the season. People weren't so sure. When he is as productive as Josh Allen, they will win a title. And when the coaches give him the ball as much as they've been giving them the ball, the Bills are going to be almost unstoppable. And I'm telling you, I think this team can win a title when you know, Elway didn't win until he had Davis. Marino never won because he didn't have a running game. They've got something here now, and I think Cook can deliver a title if the coaches really keep ramping up his percentages and touches.
Yeah, you got it. Thanks, JD. Good call. And, you know, luck, the residue of design. I like that because it's not luck when you do things right and through a 60-minute game, something happens to go your way because you keep doing things right. A ball could bounce one way or the other. We know that can be luck sometimes. Look, Sealer running into the punter. I mean, that's, you can't do that for the Dolphins. That's what bad teams do. They make plays like that. They make mistakes like that. And that's what he did on that play. And that, sorry, that really helped the Bills, obviously, in that moment. Coach Ronald says, the Bills are averaging 34 points a game. Come on, relax. The fish came to play. They played tough. It's how you learn and grow. And that's getting connected with our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. That's right. I just looked it up. Baltimore leading the league at 40.5 points a game. The Bills are second at 34 points a game. That's through three games. Baltimore has already played two. And by the way, Baltimore plays Detroit on Monday night. Detroit's averaging 32.5. That could be a high-scoring game there. Let's go to CJ in West Seneca. What's going on, CJ?
Hey, Sal. Morning, man. So just the two bright spots for me on defense last night. I thought Deion Walker's best game as a pro was last night. He only had two tackles, but the one play was either like a pitch play or like a throw to the flat, and he got to the boundary and made a tackle. And then if you look at the replay of Bernard's interception, I think Walker either got a piece of it or he at least got his hands up into his face enough, I think, to maybe make that throw be a little bit off. And then Trey White looks like he's back to his old, you know, Trey White self as much as he can be. He had a couple of nice pass breakups last night. But the one that I'm concerned about, we're almost 20% of the way through the season, and Greg Rousseau has been on a milk carton the first 3 weeks. He's been nowhere to be found anywhere. So I was just wondering if you can see stuff when you're on the sideline. Are teams scheming against him and they're able to kind of, you know, neutralize him, or has it just been bad luck the first few weeks?
Yeah, so a couple of things. I'll touch on all three of your players and points here. Deion Walker actually said it to us in the locker room too, CJ. He said, tell Terrell he owes me a thank you because I pressure. It was my pressure. That's what he said. He did not say he got his hand on it, so I don't think he did, but you're right. It was close, and we couldn't tell, right? But he did say he got the pressure there, and he did for sure. Deion Walker had a really nice game. I agree with you. It's interesting you say that about Trey White. I got a lot of, and I gave Trey White an arrow down because I thought that he got beat a little too much on the outside, him and Christian Benford. And I do agree with you, though. He made some nice plays. He was involved in the run game. But a lot of people are really down on Trey White after yesterday's game. I will say, I think it was circumstantial, which is, you know, there was long yardage situations. You've given him a cushion and the pass rush didn't get home. So you're going to get beat a lot in those situations when you're a corner because you have guys that you're trying to respect the speed of and that can happen. I thought it was an interesting game for Trey like that because you could look at it one of two ways. So thank you. And then the final one. Okay, so Greg Rousseau. Yeah, not productive right now. Him and AJ Epenesa combined for two total tackles. I do think not having Ed Oliver hurts Greg Rousseau, but at the same time, that that's going to happen. He's got to win his one-on-ones, and I'm not seeing that enough right now from him. And I don't know if they're necessarily scheming against him specifically, because Joey Bosa's on the other side. You should be a little better than that and be a little more productive than what he has been. But we know that he's been productive in the past, and hopefully that'll change. So hopefully that answers all your questions, CJ.
No, I did. And like you said, I figured bringing Bosa in, you know, maybe Greg would be getting a little bit more one-on-one with the tackle, but it doesn't seem to be working out just on the stat sheet the first 3 weeks or so.
Yeah, I wonder if, like I said, when Ed Oliver comes back, if that would help out. And again, it wasn't like he was great against, you know, Baltimore, but I do think that'll help having some more, you know, somebody in the interior that'll take up a little bit of attention there. Okay, we'll take a timeout. Thank you so much for all the calls. Keep them coming. I plan on playing some sound, but we don't have to today because we can just keep taking the calls. And then Sean McDermott's going to speak anyway in an hour to the media. And the coordinators will talk after that today as well. And we're going to keep talking about this game. Bills win 31-21. They are at 3-0. First in the clubhouse with three wins in the 2025 NFL season. Back after this timeout on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We got a call coming all the way from Indonesia, I believe. John, are you in Indonesia?
Yes, Al, I'm traveling, and I am in Jakarta, Indonesia.
Wow, I love that. Okay.
Yeah, I was able to watch the game this morning. I'm all good. We won. However, I have a question, two questions. First is regarding the running back rotation and rotating three running backs. Want your opinion on that. When we have a guy, James Cook, who has proven he is a three down back, and he can take it to the house on any given play. So,
they didn't rotate three running backs that much last night, though. James Cook's snap count is so far through three games way higher than it has been. So far, he was on the field for 67% of the snaps. Ray Davis didn't even get a handoff yesterday.
That's fine with me. I mean, but I don't know.
James Cook had 19 carries. Hold on. James Cook had 19 carries. Ty Johnson had 3. Ray Davis had 0. And then Elijah Moore on a jet sweep. So I don't think there's anything to complain about. If that's what you're looking for, you got it.
Okay. All right. The more we get James Cook the ball, the happier I am, I guess.
And then you should be happy because that's what they did last night.
Okay. My second point is I love Terrell Bernard, and I've been waiting for him. I was waiting for him to make the splash play when he finally did. But oftentimes I see him get 5 yards downfield, I think, getting soaked up by – linemen and not being able to come downhill. I want your assessment on our linebacker play overall.
Well, they're a little bit lighter and smaller. They're a little bit lighter and smaller by design to be more athletic, which allows them to make plays in the passing game. And when linemen get on them, that can be a problem. So the way it has to work is You hope your defensive linemen don't allow that to happen so they can make plays. You could go with bigger linebackers then who are not going to make those splash plays in the passing game or be more athletic and go sideline to sideline. It's just how you want to build it. I have zero issue with Terrell Bernard. I think Terrell Bernard has been a very, very good football player for the Bills. That play he made yesterday was excellent in film study, but no doubt he wasn't filling up the stat sheet yesterday, and you'd like to see a little more of that, but I have zero issue with Terrell Bernard. And the way the Bills design their linebackers, they're a little bit lighter and they're more athletic because they want to be able to make plays in space. That's how it is. And you can't, if you don't want that, then you're not going to get the plays in space if you want more of a downhill guy and a thumper. That make sense? He hung up from Indonesia. I mean, he calls up and says, man, I don't like the running back rotation. There was no rotation last night. James Cook got the ball 19 times. Ty Johnson got it 3. Ray Davis didn't get it. James Cook was on the field for 67% of the snaps last night. That's like a really big number for him. Ty Johnson was on the field for how many? 25. James Cook, 40 to 15. Ray Davis, 4. I mean, if you're looking, you got exactly what you wanted. So I really don't know what the issue would be, but thanks for the call. 803-0550 here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Stick with me. We'll get to your phone calls. Also get to some sound from postgame yesterday here on a Buffalo Football Friday.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.